Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27 in verse 22 will serve as our text this morning. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And then all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Let us put our text in its proper context. We'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 15. "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?' And they all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.' And then the governor said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.' And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Now this morning, we shall look at three ways in which people respond to the question that we have before us. What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? We can respond with unbelief. We can respond with the wishy-washy response. Or we can respond with faith. First, the response of unbelief. This is the response of the chief priests, the elders, and the unbelieving Jewish multitudes. Not all Jews rejected Jesus of Nazareth as Messiah. For God always has and always will have a very small remnant of Israel. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Notwithstanding, the masses in Jesus' day cried out, saying, "Let him be crucified." These Jews had the oracles of God, the Old Testament scriptures, and yet they rejected Jesus of Nazareth, who had fulfilled them to the letter. They knew well the truth, but they believed not. The philosophers and the academics today have also been trying to discredit the faith. Some have even announced that God is dead. In doing so, proclaiming their own spiritual condition, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Second, we have the wishy-washy response. This is the response of Pontius Pilate. Pilate had been warned of condemning a just man by his wife. And like many of us men, he did not listen to his wife. Pilate did, however, in fact, declare Jesus innocent. But Pilate wasn't going to resist a tumult. So he succumbed to the pressure of the people. Maybe like Pilate, you know that you know that you ought to seek God by seeking Jesus. But in your family, in your circles, it is not going to be a popular thing to do. But it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's not popular to spend a good amount of time in prayer, Bible reading, in serious Bible study. So maybe you're not doing it, but it's the right thing to do. People will tolerate you in our culture and in most circles and even in some churches, but only if you are a nominal Christian. If you start talking about the deep things of Christ or of making that deeper commitment to follow spiritual disciplines, you'll find somebody else to talk to. As long as you're wishy-washy about the truth, allowing for every foolish thought which opposes God's thoughts, which are revealed in the Bible, you will be accepted in these so-called Christian circles. Even more so, people will both tolerate and laugh at you if you are all mouth and no action. Jesus Christ has no use for wishy-washy disciples. For he has said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And that's just not money, but by extension, any worldly pursuit, a worldly desire. Jesus also said that no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Count the cost. The final response is the response of faith. How does faith come about? The scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many of the people had heard truth directly from the Son of God. The high priest had even put Jesus under oath by the living God, saying, "Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." We might say in our vernacular, "Most certainly." Many were blessed by seeing Jesus in his first Advent days. But you and I, having been called to faith, have not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen We're not made of things which are visible. Again, it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Now, we have come to the most important part of our sermon this morning. So if you slept through the first half of it, you can pay attention. Each of us must ask ourselves, in all seriousness, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? You can reject him outright. You can play the fence. Felix procrastinated. You can put it off for another day. Agrippa was almost persuaded to become a Christian. But there's nothing in the scripture that tells us that he ever went beyond being almost persuaded. He almost made it to heaven. You know, the guy who almost made it to heaven is in the same boat as the guy who never gave it a thought in the world. Pilate was not willing to investigate Jesus' identity nor his claims. Neither would he act on his behalf for fear of men. No decision is a decision to reject Jesus Christ. And by extension, the Father. You can come to God through Jesus Christ in faith. I highly recommend this option because I believe that God's word is true, reflecting the character of the God who inspired every single word in it. We have here in the Gospel of John the words of Christ. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. But as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. The hour is coming. Maybe today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next month, a year from now, several decades, a millennium off. The Lord knows. But it's coming. And all those who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing; as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. For this purpose, the Lord Jesus came into the world. For if we sin willingly, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, I just quoted that scripture from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. Sounds like something you might hear in Jeremiah in the Old Testament, doesn't it? But our God, though he be a God of grace and love, is not a God to be trifled with. What we do with Jesus is the most important decision we will ever make. And what we do with Jesus has serious ramifications. Jesus expects us to take the next steps, to become a disciple, to submit to believer's baptism, to maintain that relationship day by day and pray, to observe the Lord's table on a regular basis. To read your Bible day by day. To take part in the life of the church body. What now will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? I'd like to close by reading a hymn. I won't sing it to you because I want you to keep coming. This hymn was written by Albert Benjamin Simpson, 1905. It's not a very popular hymn. Actually, I had quite a time trying to find a copy of it with the words put to music. But I'll read it to you. It's very, very powerful. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him, if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him, whatever be tied? Vainly, you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny? Or will you scorn from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say? This I will do with Jesus. Someday, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?